love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
Jimmy Kimmel seems like a pretty likable guy. I mean, I've laughed at some of the segments on his late night show, but he's been getting more and more political on his jokes and on his show lately, and he's caused an awful lot of attention. Yesterday, he was on CBS Sunday Morning, and here's what he had to say.
One conservative commentator in particular who says, who made Jimmy Kimmel the moral arbiter?
I'm not. I mean, yeah, I agree with him. I'm nobody's moral arbiter. I mean, you don't have to watch the show. You don't have to listen to what I say.
Okay. He might think that he's nobody's moral arbiter, but when he does these political monologues, he is presenting himself as one. It's the same thing that I do, Jimmy. And you know how you feel about me. Here's what annoys so many Americans. Comedians will present their political opinions as if it's the default position of the country. There's no nuance, no recognition that there are millions of potential viewers that really disagree with them.
Like 3 years ago, I was equally liked by Republicans and Democrats, and then Republican numbers went way down, like 30% or whatever. And, you know, as a talk show host, that's not ideal, but I would do it again in a heartbeat.
Okay. So if I was ABC, I would call Jimmy and remind him that his job is to try to get as many viewers as possible, so alienating a chunk of the audience is bad for business. When he abandons comedy for serious diatribes on politics, he's not doing his job. The other thing is, it ignores and annoys half of the country. If people want politics, they'll watch another channel. They'll watch, you know, a show like this, or they'll go someplace where they expect it. How many of us, left and right, just want to laugh?
So you don't mind if Republicans turn off your show? They're not watching anymore?
I don't say I don't mind. I mean, I love for everyone. I want everyone with a television to watch the show. But if they're so turned off by my opinion on healthcare and gun violence, then I don't know. I probably won't want to have a conversation with them anyway.
Good riddance?
Well, not good riddance, but riddance.
This is the most important thing that he said. I probably wouldn't want to have a conversation with them anyway. How many times are we going to hear this in our society? Because that's the takeaway. Not that he's saying something, you know, about guns or healthcare or anything else. Not that he's losing audience or gaining others. That he says, if you disagree with me, I probably wouldn't want to have a conversation with you anyway. Kimmel can have all the political opinions he wants. And because of his celebrity, he'll have the opportunities to talk about them. These late night hosts might be surprised how much of the audience would just really appreciate them for doing their job on not pissing me off at the end of the day and just making us all laugh and come together as Americans.
Monday, October 16th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
It doesn't seem like anybody cares anymore. George Lopez booed off the stage for juvenile diabetes in Denver last week. He did an anti-Donald Trump routine. It didn't go over really well with the crowd. The tables sold for $5,000 to $100,000 to benefit the Barbara Davis Center for Diabetes. And George was asked nicely, this is according to the event, George was asked nicely to stop making Trump jokes by a man in the front row who just donated $250,000. But George didn't. He continued and got booed. Here it is.
Listen, it's about the kids. All right? I apologize for bringing politics to an event. This is America, it still is. All right? So I apologize to your white privilege, but yes. Oh. If I was a minority in Denver, I'd be upset too.
Wow.
I got you.
Wow. I apologize for your white privilege. Thank you for changing my opinion on old white men, but it doesn't change the way I feel about orange men. So, what is happening here? What is happening here is what has happened before. And one of the things that I have warned against and been worried about, honor, courage, love. Those were the three events that we did as we prepared for these times. Honor, have honor, know what is true, know what is most important. God is most important. Never dishonor yourself. Stand for the truth. Next, with courage. Have the courage, because times are going to get tough and you're going to feel awfully alone. And people are going to say horrible things and do horrible things. And you have to have the courage to remember and stand in honor. And love. The only way to protect yourself from the hate that is coming is love, empathy, seeing one another, hearing one another, listening to one another. We're not doing that. How many people that you know truly have honor? How many people do you know that are willing to and have demonstrated? If you haven't demonstrated in your own life yet that you will stand against the mob, you will take on your own side, because there's no way any of us, left or right, agree with everything that left or right has done. If you're not looking, if you're on the left, and you're not seeing Antifa, and you're not seeing people excuse that, and you don't look at them and say, excuse me, these guys are not on our side. They scare the hell out of me. If you haven't taken on your own side yet, then perhaps you don't know what honor is, or you don't have courage. And if you're not concerned about the hatred, then I don't know what will start to concern you on that. What made America great? Well, a couple of things. De Tocqueville said what made America great is that America was good. Are we good anymore? Are we? Do you remember when Americans used to look like Puritans? We were mocked around the world because we were Puritans. Are we Puritans anymore? I saw an ad last night for Emirates Airways. And it was fascinating to watch. Most people, I bet, won't even notice it. But all of the women were completely covered, not in hijabs or anything like that, just had long sleeves. And the shorts came down to their knees. At one point, it shows a beach and a woman laying on the beach, and she's got like a robe on her. And she runs towards the water in her robe. I watched that and I said to my son, wait a minute. Go back. Watch this. Notice the women. He said, wow, Dad, what does that mean? I said, that is to not offend the sensibilities of their home nation and the Muslims around the world. It's a Muslim airline. So they are coming into our culture. They have to change their ads and try to appeal to us, but they're the Puritans. There wouldn't be a single ad that would look like that. And it wouldn't stand out. Most people would never even notice it. But that wouldn't be made here. Nobody would even consider that. As Donna Karan said last week, look at the way they're dressed. Donna Karan, really? Have you looked at your own fashion? Have you looked at how you dress the models? Have you ever tried to go and buy modest clothes for your children, for your daughters? Have you ever done that? It's almost impossible. And why is that market? Why is that market so untapped? Because no one listens to each other. One side just assumes that they're right and that everyone is like that. And if they're not like that, well, there's something wrong with them. And so you're just in the dustbin. You have to go shopping wherever you can find clothes that are modest. This is now happening in everything in our life. On television, they don't care about you anymore. And so what do? We get mad at people like George Lopez. I get mad at him because of his arrogance. Is there any humility, George? Any humility? After Donald Trump won, I spent a long time with the left begging them, don't do what I did. And what was that? I told the truth as I saw it. Yes, I did. And there, I'd do that again. But I also lacked a certain sense of empathy for half of the country. And I didn't speak to them, nor did I listen to them. And so, and not because of me, but because of all of us on both sides, we've gone into our camps and we're not listening. And so what happens if you don't listen, if you don't talk, you become us versus them. Somehow or another, we're dehumanized. And you know this is true. Look at what CBS, look what one of the executives at CBS said about all the people at the country concert in Las Vegas. As if we're not even human. What happens when you have a society like this? One side wins and puts the other side into a camp. That's what happens. I can't say it's going to happen here, but that's what happens historically. You dehumanize the enemy. You make them the problem. It gives you, it cuts all of your ties emotionally to them as people. We can't play into this anymore. Instead of being mad at Jimmy Kimmel, I would beg Jimmy Kimmel to reconsider. I would beg Jimmy Kimmel to talk to us. to listen to us and to realize that we're going to disagree. But what's your end game, Jimmy? We either live with each other and we tolerate each other and we give each other the space, or what? There's a lot going on today, and it's not all this heavy. But there are some changes that are happening around the world, including in Austria, which I don't think anybody was paying attention. A party that was started literally by a former SS officer now has 30% of the government. The uber scary Nazi right and the uber scary communist left is rearing its head. So what are we going to do about it? We are either going to join them because we feel there's no beating it unless we become like them, or we return to our roots and come together as Americans and solve this together.
Glenn Beck.
So where do we go from here? Well, one thing that our politicians need to understand is it's in their hands. It is in their hands, and somebody better wake up. Ted Cruz seemed to be awake this weekend. Here's what he had to say about 2018.
Look, the reason people are so unhappy, they're ticked off. We've got Republican control of every branch of government, and we're not delivering. You know, if senators don't want to see those kind of challenges, there's an easy solution to that. Let's do what we said we would do. Let's deliver on tax cuts and repealing Obamacare. If we get that done, I'm a big believer good policy is good politics. We'll have a terrific 2018 election year if we cut taxes, repeal Obamacare, and the economy booms. If we don't get any of that done, 2018 could be a bloodbath. We control our own fate. Deliver results.
He's completely right.
He's right.
And we've said this a million times. There's, you know, we've had criticism for the president. But, I mean, the reason why Obamacare is repealed is not because it has anything to do with the president. The reason why Obamacare isn't repealed is because the Republican Congress could not hand him any piece of legislation at all, any of which he'd sign, as he was pretty clear about.
Yeah, I'd sign anything.
Yeah, he'll sign any of these things. Yes. They could have done a skinny repeal, a fat repeal, a normal repeal. Any of these things he would have signed.
Any of it.
And they couldn't deliver any of them. Not a small little bill that just dissected it. It took bad pieces out. Nothing. They gave him nothing to sign. And, you know, Cruz is right on this. If they can pass these things and the effects of the policies are as good as we would hope they would be, then they're going to have no problem in these elections. But if they do nothing and things are bad,
2018 is going to be a Republican ghost town.
Glenn Beck. Program.
Hey, our heart goes out to those in California, and if you would like to get involved, mercury1.org, mercury1.org, to be able to help these people. That, you know, there are 400 people missing. 400 people are missing. The death toll is now starting to creep up to Vegas numbers, and it doesn't seem like anybody's really paying attention to this. And California, we want you to know you're in our thoughts and our prayers. And if you want to get involved and help California, you can go to mercury1.org. I'm wondering why we don't seem to connect with this California story. And and maybe, perhaps, it is Puerto Rico we saw as another country. People just don't see Puerto Ricans as American citizens. I hate that. I hate the fact that you have to be an American citizen. But I can't figure out why we don't care about the Puerto Rican story as much as we should. I mean, people without electricity at all, no phone service, nothing. That's horrible.
Yeah, and they are American citizens.
And they are.
Polls show something like 40% of Americans don't actually realize that. But yeah, they're American citizens.
Right. And I don't think it's just that they're Americans, that we don't know that they're American citizens. I'm not sure what it is.
Do you think it's natural disaster fatigue at all?
Could be.
Because we had, you know, Harvey, Irma, Maria, the Puerto Rico thing obviously is in that. You have there are wildfires before the hurricanes and now the ones after.
So I think it's that. But I also think that people are sick of, they don't want to give to the Red Cross. You know, they just don't want to give. They don't try. How many people do you know? If you're involved in FEMA or the Red Cross, I want nothing to do with it.
There's definitely some of that. I mean, they have raised a lot of money.
Yeah, so they have. They have.
And there was a huge reactions to things like Harvey, right? I mean, it's not like we've forgotten all natural disasters. It's just
What I'm thinking is that you can't really get involved over in Puerto Rico because it's an island. So we can't, you know, we don't have people from neighboring states going and driving there.
There's not a hands-on feel to it.
Correct. So yeah. There's no real hands-on feel to it. It's so massive that it's going to take the government to do something. And with California, I think that we look at California not as neighbors, but as a giant state. And I don't mean giant state like Texas is a giant state or Alaska is a giant state. I mean, it's statism. And so you, again, it's like an island. Here in Texas, nobody's going to stop you from getting a boat and going out. In California, A, you can't do anything because it's fires. So, you'll die. Mm-hmm. But also, is California even going to welcome that? Is the state going to let you do anything? I mean, you know what I mean? It's like a, I don't know. I don't know.
I do think there is an element of that, right? I mean, maybe, that is the philosophy of that area.
Yeah.
And this is, it's such a split area, too. We talk about this all the time. I mean, we were just looking at some stats of the business, and one of our big business parts of this, I can't remember if it was subscription or whatever it was. The biggest part of it is California.
Yeah.
There's a lot of real conservatives in California.
And they feel abandoned.
Who feel abandoned because there are real conservatives there, and then there are real far left people. And so, obviously, so far, they've held control of the state for most of the time and grown government to massive levels, too. I think there are a lot of citizens there who look at it as, this is always the government's job. There's nothing for me to do. I'll go along, do my life until something happens to me, and then the government will help me.
Right.
And that's obviously a different, totally different vibe than
Texas.
And
they just think differently in the in California, in the liberal regions. I mean, I saw what they did with Harvey Weinstein this weekend with the Oscars. Okay, so you kicked him out, but Woody Allen is still in.
Yeah, Woody Allen, who, by the way, was convicted. He was guilty. Who admitted he raped a 14-year-old.
No, not Woody Allen. You're thinking Woody Allen is the one who had pictures of his
daughter. Oh, I'm thinking Polanski.
Polanski.
Yeah. Sorry, I get all these wonderful Hollywood characters confused.
Right?
Right, but Woody Allen's the same thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, Woody Allen, you know, had pictures of his underage daughter.
He
married his daughter, his adopted daughter. His other daughter said he molested her beginning at 7. Mm-hmm. And then his statement on this was, gee, I hope we don't outlaw winking. Winking?
That's a weird statement from him.
Hey, yeah. Woody, all right, bizarre. And so Let me play Corey Feldman, please. Here's Corey Feldman on Barbara Walters. Now, this is a few years ago. He was on The View, and he was talking about what's happening in Hollywood and how he and other child stars had been molested by men, very powerful men. Now, listen to this, and listen to what Barbara Walters says.
saying that there are people that were the people that did this to both me and Corey that are still working, they're still out there, and they're some of the richest, most powerful people in this business.
And they are.
And they do not want me saying what I'm saying right now.
Are you saying that they're pedophiles?
Yes.
And that they're still in this business?
Yes.
That's what, and that's what you're saying in your book. When you talk to when you talk to parents,
they want me here right now. Trust
Corey,
me. They want me dead.
There are a lot of parents out here who want to put their kids in this business. Their kids are cute. They're great actors. Da, da, da. What would you say to a parent who just has the best of intentions who's coming here with their child? Uh-huh. If you're saying that there's a lot of predators in this industry.
It's a many-feathered bird. Okay, be careful what you wish for. That's what I'll tell you. You know, don't go into it with naivety. Don't go into it thinking that it's all roses and sunglasses.
You're damaging an entire industry.
I'm sorry, I'm not trying to. I'm just trying to say that it's a very important, serious topic.
You said that there was one gentleman in the industry who did not take advantage of you. He was not a pedophile. You said it was Michael Jackson.
Of all people.
And she pushes back on behalf.
She pushes back on behalf of Hollywood. And we're living in this time where you have to believe the accusers. Well, no, you don't have to believe. You have to take them seriously and investigate. You take them seriously, but you don't have to believe them. She didn't even take them seriously. She turns around, you're destroying a whole industry. Well, that whole industry is really sick. I mean, we now know. I mean, who's the guy who is the producer that was having the hot tub parties with all of the young boys? Remember? That barely even made the news. Do you know that story? Somebody's got to remember. It's a Natasha, see if you can find it. It's a sick story about this guy in Hollywood who is who has had these hot tub parties for years and has lured boys over to his home.
And it's impossible to take them seriously. When you have Meryl Streep is coming out and saying, oh, well, I'm very offended about what Harvey Weinstein. First of all, you've been calling him God for years. Second of all, forget the. Let's just say you didn't know anything about Harvey Weinstein. Let's just say.
I don't believe
we
it.
We don't believe it at all.
I don't believe
but
it.
But let's just say she had no idea. She was praising Roman Polanski from stage multiple times. A guy who was convicted of raping a 14-year-old. He admitted he ran from the country to avoid prison time and has not been able to return. And you were still praising him. What credibility could you possibly have on this matter? Go away. You should. It's absolutely incredible that they think that they should be believable. And I guess it's because they're actors and actresses and they're supposed to be. They're going to claim now. They think they can convince anyone of anything.
Well, no, I mean, Hillary Clinton is doing the same thing. Did you see her on the BBC? She was on the BBC this weekend. Do we have this audio? She was on the BBC this weekend, and she was saying, let's play cut one first. No regrets attacking Bill accusers. You have it, Sarah?
In your book, the three women brought onto stage by Trump attacking your husband, and you kind of dismiss them. Was that the right thing to do? Are you sure about that?
Well, yes, because that had all been litigated. I mean, that was the subject of a huge, investigation, as you might recall, in the late 90s. And there were conclusions drawn, and that was clearly in the past. But it is something that has to be taken seriously, as I say, for everyone, not just for those in entertainment right now.
Absolutely. Nobody wants to blame women for what men do. But nonetheless, powerful women like you also have a duty to call men out.
As I did throughout the campaign.
Yeah.
I certainly did. I mean,
but you didn't with your own
husband.
The
really sad part of the campaign was how this horrific tape, what he said about women in the past, what he said about women during the campaign, was discounted by a lot of voters.
She went on to say, I didn't know anything about Harvey. I'd never even heard those rumors. Now, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. And here's why. We have seen too much evidence of too many people that were mauled by him. You are too close to Weinstein. I know people in the Clinton circles who worked for Weinstein, and they knew. You're telling me those people never warned you? They never said, really bad guy, really bad guy. Why would your people that used to work for you tell me about that and not you? I don't believe it for a second.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because is there... I read something from an employee of one of the companies, you know, off the record comment from one of the employees. And they said, look, we knew what we thought he was a guy who screamed at everybody and was a jerk.
Yes.
And a guy who, whenever he left, whenever he went on the road, was cheating on his wife.
That's different.
Right.
Hang on just a second. That's different than I've never heard these rumors. She said in the BBC article I never heard anything like this. That's different than, look, I heard that he was a philanderer, but I thought it was all consensual. She can't say that.
No.
She can't say that.
She's so dishonest.
So she has to go to, I never heard any of it, which is also a lie. I tell you, the day of the politicians is just... It's just over. I read a book this weekend. Hang on, I read this. Let me see if I can find it, because I don't know. I finished this damn novel, and I don't even know the name of it.
Hop on Pop?
Yes. Have you read that?
Yeah, because the guy is constantly jumping on Pop.
It was crazy, right?
Yeah, it's really good.
It's like, off Pop.
Yeah. Okay. I think they might make a movie out of that thing, because it was powerful.
Robert Harris is a great writer, a great novelist, and he wrote a few years ago, Conclave. And it's all about the Pope dying, and there's some intrigue, and then what happens in the conclave to get the next Pope, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's so amazing to me that... It doesn't matter if it's the conclave or if it's, you know, over in Europe or here. All politicians are exactly the same. They're exactly the same. But there is something different this time. And it's called the internet. We have the ability to connect with one another and connect with something real. And I don't know. It's not going to happen by 2018. But 2020, 2022, there's going to be a new breed of politician. It's just they're going to be different because these politicians we've had enough of in the entire world has had enough. And so if we don't go into communism or fascism, some sort of totalitarianism, Europe is moving in that direction rapidly. If we don't go into something like that, there's a chance that we survive by rooting all of these people out and not replacing them with just a better version of what we already have. I think we have a chance of changing this entirely, and people who don't feel like that smarmy politician, those are the people that I think we have a chance of possibly electing because the entire system is broken. And once somebody figures out, here's how you go through the gate, or here's how you jump over the fence, I think those politicians are over. So I'm having a hard time believing that people in Hollywood did not know about Harvey Weinstein. I mean, you may not have known that he was a rapist, but you knew he was a bad guy. When Courtney Love is on television saying this, I think in 2012, listen to this.
Hi, Comedy Central.
Do you have any advice for a young girl moving to Hollywood?
I'll get lively with that. Harvey Weinstein invites you to a private party in the Four Seasons.
If Harvey Weinstein invites you, don't go.